All right, folks, welcome back to yet another episode of Fresh Juice, an indie game podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Tommy Fresh, and next to me is...
Matty Juice! I figured, you know, you hit him with the, oh, so I had to do it with the, you know, kind of drag it out there, but yeah. How you doing, Tommy?
I'm good. I'm all about the ahs and ums, you know? I'm really a big fan. I'm doing all right. A busy weekend of playing Flesh and Blood. It nice. Is Pro Quest season for the next Pro Tour, which is in London next year. And I'm trying to compete and try to qualify, but you have to win one of these Pro Quest tournaments, so it's very hard to do. I've qualified for nationals, which all you have to do is get top four, but winning a tournament is a totally different beast, especially in the local New Jersey meta, where I played against yesterday former nationals runner-up. A Pro Tour champion was at that store as well. It's pretty stacked. So
yeah, that's what they're saying too. They're like, I had to play against Tommy Fresh. I'm just saying. Probably.
I don't demand much respect, but I get some respect.
yeah, that. You do. You placed well.
Placed well in the past, so. Yeah. But I haven't been able to really practice as much as I'd like. Been super busy with everything, with getting ready for the wedding, and then just work is crazy. It's a tough time of year, but yeah, it was fun. I'm just like super happy to be able to play Flesh and Blood in the Flesh and Blood. Because normally I would go to local tournaments, but my schedule just really doesn't allow me to do it as much. So being able to kind of throw it on the calendar and just go is very nice. So
yeah,
it was a good time. Good to see some friends. I recorded a very cool Fresh and Buds podcast on Saturday night, which was cool, with a dev from the game. That was pretty neat, all the way from Auckland, which is where the game's from. So that obviously makes sense. And today I played golf, I think for the first time this year. And it showed. It was not good. I did not play well. And I have to play again on Friday. So I left my clubs in the car. I'm going to have to stop at a range at some point this week to just figure out what the heck was happening. So
yeah.
It was fun, though. Got to do, it was a really beautiful course, an hour and a half away from me. Farmstead, which is up in Lafayette, New Jersey, which is Sussex County. And
they speak French there.
Yeah, a little bit. Wee wee. But yeah, that's pretty much been my week. My week has been just a lot. I traveled so much last week, and I'm happy to sleep in my own bed a lot this week. I'll tell you that much. But what about you? What's going on with you?
Oh, man. I mean, a lot of stuff going on. Work's been pretty busy. I got there's a big Once Human update coming out, for those who don't know. Obviously, I play Once Human quite a bit and make content for it. So been preparing for that. Took a little time off work too on Friday, took a half day. So, we're doing a charity stream actually on Friday for Gamers Outreach. So raising money for, kids in hospitals, getting them gaming equipment, games in general. So it should be pretty cool. So yeah, just been preparing for that sort of stuff. The weekend was good. Saturday just kind of, I don't know if I've talked about it on the podcast, but we're adopting a puppy.
Oh, you haven't. I mean, we've talked about you were looking, but
yeah. So we are. He's gonna be 65 pounds. He's gonna be 10 months old. But so it's not really a puppy. But supposed to be picking him up on the 26th. So coming up. So yeah, we were just kind of doing we went to PetSmart. I've been ordering a ton of stuff on Amazon, crate. We just got his bed. It's just kind of puppy proofing a lot on Saturday. And we carved some pumpkins too, try to do that every year. I made a little toad. I did toad on my pumpkin. Looked okay, Very nice. Kind of messed up a little bit. Pumpkin carving's not easy. Did toad. And then Sunday, watched some football.
Sure.
Had some friends over, just kind of hung out. Shout out to Bags making some pizza, bringing it over. Top tier pizza. Had it for lunch today. So just been like super busy though. I mean, work's been nuts. Stuff outside of work. It's just all, you know, it's a busy month. And I know we're both headed to a wedding next weekend. It's just like one after, and then your wedding. I mean, like, come on, you know, I mean,
good,
it's just
going
to be wild. I'm excited for the month to wrap up though, because it's just been, it's been a crazy month so far. So, lot more to do, but yeah,
this is arguably my busiest month for work because we have a huge holiday beer that we release, and it releases in October, of course, because that's how things happen, and everybody's really annoying about it. So it is what it is. But the pumpkins sound cool. We used to do, I don't think we did it last year, but we used to carve pumpkins every year. I did like a flesh and blood card one year.
Nice.
Toad sounds cool, but you know what, you know what they say? Better to be toad than fingered. But anyway.
Hey! But that's all, folks.
That's all. Pull the George Costanza. All right. But we do have a great episode for you all today. We're going to talk about a game called Anima Flux, and it is developed by Anima Flux and published by Anima Flux, and it's on Steam and coming soon to PS5, Xbox, and Switch, according to their website. Price is $19.99 and 10% off until October 21st. But we'll get to that in a bit. We gotta get to some news first, which, as always, the biggest news ever is we do have a Discord, the Fresh Juice Discord. It's a great place to hang out, submit listener questions, all kinds of stuff, or even news for us to check out. But check it out. It's in the show notes. But some news. Not a huge news week, but there are a couple demos that are out now that are worth mentioning in the indie game sphere. But also, big Pokemon news. I don't know if you saw any of this.
It rings a bell, but I don't know specifics. So yeah, what's going on in the Pokemon world?
Would you say it rings a bell, Sprout?
I can. I won't, but I could.
Anyway, Pokemon is made by this company called Game Freak. And Game Freak had a huge leak, right, this week. And the leak was pretty whatever. It was like a lot of information on, you know, beta stuff and plans for the future. Nothing really that pertains to this podcast at all. But there's also like some lore that they had written and not released and all this other stuff. And the biggest thing, everybody's like all talking about these beta sprites and stuff like that. And they're like, wow, they really changed this one Pokemon. I think it was the water starter, one of the more recent water starters, was completely different in generation 3, and that was like cool or whatever. But the biggest thing, they found some lore, I guess, some written lore about Typhlosion. You know, the Pokemon Typhlosion.
Yeah.
I knew a guy named Typhlosion. Anyway, Typhlosion is the final form of Cyndaquil, which was the fire starter from Generation 2, Pokemon Gold, Silver, Crystal. For those of you who don't know, big old, like, I don't even know what kind of animal it was supposed to be. Some kind of,
like a ferret or
like
something?
I guess like a ferret.
Something like that, like a fire ferret?
Yeah, I think that makes sense. Like a fire ferret, whatever. It's a lot of people's favorite Pokemon. I was always a huge fan, for sure. I definitely picked that starter when I first got Gold and Silver back in the day.
Yep.
There's some lore about Typhlosion, and I'm this is paraphrasing. I don't know exactly what happens, but apparently Typhlosion, in the story that they didn't release, got a human girl pregnant. And they had
in the lore,
and they had a baby. And I think that, I mean, this might be me kind of really paraphrasing. I think the girl was a girl, not like a woman, like very young, perhaps.
Oh.
But, which is whatever. Anime is anime.
Yeah.
Yeah. you hear about that stuff all the time.
Was the baby human?
I don't know much about the baby. All I know is Typhlosion was acting up. Acting a fool, my friend. So I just figured we'd talk about it because it's very interesting. Obviously, they didn't release it for a reason.
Yeah.
Understandably so. Typhlosion now in the minds of a lot of Pokemon fans is like a little iffy, right? It's unfortunate because it's not really Typhlosion's fault that they wrote him like that. Like, I mean, he's also a made-up character anyway, so like, I guess, whatever.
It's not his fault.
It's not his fault that he even
free
exists.
Free Typhlosion.
Free my boy Typhlosion. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on this because, first of all, did you like Typhlosion before this came out? Does this affect your image of your idea of what Typhlosion is? And where do you go from here?
Well, honestly, so I've always liked like Cyndaquil and Typhlosion and what's the middle one?
I don't remember.
I don't remember the middle one either. But I've always liked, you know, them. They always look cool to me. I think I chose that starter as well when I played. But honestly, okay, I understand them not releasing this because this is just like
weird,
insane, right?
Quilava.
Okay, there we go. So just a quick question. Like, is this like lore that's like in the games? Like, can you, because I never really was a big lore guy with Pokemon. Like, can you access like a paragraph of lore for every Pokemon maybe in the Pokédex or something like that? Is that where this was going to be? Or is this just like, I guess, where was this going to be? Does it say?
So I have it up now. So what they say is fans have discovered some sort of lost lore.
Okay. Right?
So, you know, there's lore like flavor stuff throughout all the games, right? You talk to a certain character, like an NPC, they'll be like, oh, I remember when Mio was this or whatever. You know, Clefairy looked like this back in the day or something. They always had stuff like this, so I don't know if this was like planned and then they scrapped it. But here's a brief excerpt. Real excerpt here. This is a quote. A long time ago, when the boundary between Pokemon and humans was unclear. That's a real quote. From whatever it is. So apparently a young girl is tricked by a shape-shifting Typhlosion into thinking that he's a human. Eventually, she apparently has a child with him, and she's called his wife. Her father eventually comes and kills the Typhlosion, and when she returns to the village, she and her half-Pokemon child is teased by the men in the village, who at one point cover it in fur skins. Then they run into the forest and are never seen again.
Oh my God.
And here's a particularly nightmarish passage from when the father goes to find his daughter. You have broken the branch. Your father will be here soon. Now I am going to do something bad to your father. If you kill me, you can have my eyes, my voice, my heart. Then I want you to build a fire where I was killed and let it burn. And I want you to sing this song until it burns out. So
why does this sound like this is like, it's like some religious text or something?
I know.
The way that's written. Wow. So, okay. So.
Oh, and then also... This is the girl saying to her half child, please stop. You're going to kill my father. Please stop. Let yourself be killed. Goodbye. We'll never meet again. So weird.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Typhlosion was he shape shifted somehow and tricked her. So it kind of is his fault if that's what he was doing.
Well, yeah. I was saying that Typhlosion, as an idea, it's not Typhlosion's fault. That Game Freak was writing this stuff.
Putting the freak in it, yeah.
Maybe that's where they got their name.
But also, like, if you think about it, and I know we're, like, way off course here, but in the world, like, imagine you lived in the world of Pokemon, right?
Yep.
And just think about even, like, today, too.
I imagine that all the time, actually.
There would be people that would have relationships, like, intimate relationships with Pokemon, in like in the world. Like, just think of how like freaky people are in our world.
You mean like people would fetishize them, and I mean, yeah, I guess they already kind of do in our world, but that's a story for a different day.
Like, you're telling me there's no girl out there that's like in the Pokemon world, it's like, I want to get with Mr. Mime, you know?
Yeah, because some of them are very humanoid, right? Yeah, so, like, Rattata and Raticate, those are rats. But then there's Mr. Mime.
Yeah. Meowth.
Meowth is a cat. So, like,
he talks, though.
Only the one that Jesse and James have in the anime. I think that it would probably happen more often, but probably not. But like, they kind of wrote this as like, this happened a long time ago, and that's why we don't do it anymore.
I would be interested. Like, it seemed like maybe the child was killed or like went away or something because of the risk of the dad dying. But I would be interested to be like, what is a half Pokemon, half human thing? Like, what is that, a new breed that's like, the next evolution, next generation of Pokemon's half human, half Pokemon?
It looks like if anybody's ever seen the original Jumanji, when the boy rolls the dice and then starts to turn into a chimp. I think that's what it would look like. So pause this video or podcast right now and go look up original Jumanji Chimp Boy. And that's what a Pokemon human looks like. But obviously we don't condone any of the actions of this Typhlosion. I also don't condone Game Freak for writing it, but it was leaked. You know, they obviously didn't want people to see that, but it's become a meme, right?
Yeah. I don't even know why it was like still like, you know, wherever it was leaked from, like, why did that even still exist? Why wouldn't there be someone at like Game Freak be like, we should delete this from like the database. Like, why do we have it in here still?
They're probably just, maybe, you know, whatever, we'll circle back. Maybe make some
changes.
Yeah, we
could use it one day. Yeah.
Yeah. Some big changes. So very interesting. Yeah, just thought it'd be a fun discussion because that is crazy. Now let's talk about some demos that are out that are very exciting. The first one is Juice, just like Fresh Juice, a game that we played at PAX. Yeah. You just saw today, right? It's out?
Yeah, today. Max, who we met at PAX, there you go. Is the solo dev of this game called Juice that we covered in our PAX episode, and finally he's got a demo out on Steam. So it's like a first person kind of like you play as like a monster, and you're kind of like eating people. But the art style is really cool. I have not tried the demo out yet myself, but it does say that it's part of October Steam Next Fest, which is from today, the 14th to the 21st. So I don't know if it's going to be taken away after the Next Fest. It might be. So this might be a limited time demo. And it does work on the Steam Deck as well, he tweeted out. So
it looks great on the Steam Deck. Holy smokes.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna definitely try it out, you know, see what else he's added. Obviously, since the demo, I'm sure there's a good amount, but shout out to Max, man. He was awesome to interview, and hopefully we see him at PAX in 2025.
Yeah, I can't wait to dig into this demo and see what's changed. Obviously, we kind of played an arcade style of what the game was, but so cool. Love the art style. I have the poster framed right up here. You guys can't see it, but I can see it. It's right next to mine.
I've got mine right there, not framed.
Get that.
I have so much I need to frame. I know. I have so much I need to frame.
But Juice was sick, and Max was awesome. So please check it out. Check it out because it's like, at least it's a cool experience. Even if it's not your kind of game, I think it's definitely a cool experience. And that's the beautiful thing about demos, is because you can be like, this is not for me, or this is for me. This is surprisingly for me, which is a really cool experience. And something that's been taking up a lot of my time lately has been the As We Descend demo. I kind of mentioned this game. You know, I had submitted myself for the beta, never got in or whatever. But this is a new deck builder roguelike. And didn't really know a lot about it. This is from the same studio or the same publisher as Valheim. And
nice.
They did a big kind of like a sit down, this thing called The Spill, sat down and they talked about everything coming out from this publisher, including a new Valheim like expansion or something like that. I don't know if you saw that.
I did not, no.
Yeah, it's like it was like a weird, almost kind of spooky update or something like that. I forget what it was. Because I it was the first thing after As We Descend, kind of, they were talking about it. And that's when we really first saw a lot of the footage from As We Descend from the main dev, Kevin. And they also kind of talked about what the game is, really. Because, like, there's a lot of deck builder roguelikes, and why is this different? And they also put out the demo at the same time. And this demo is actually really, really cool. Now, there is no tutorial. Right, you kind of just have to hop in and just like it handhelds you a decent amount as you go through. But the really cool thing about this game is you kind of play the game in days, and you have two different decks in a way. You have your deck for the city, and then you have like your decks for going out and fighting. Right, so you're kind of in this like post-apocalyptic world where you have a city that's kind of protected. Not unlike the city from Attack on Titan, if anybody's familiar with that. But you have to each day decide how you spend your cards in the city to hopefully buff up yourself to go out and fight, which is pretty cool. So each day you do stuff in the city and then you go out and fight. And then stuff that you did in the city that day will pay off the next day or in 2 days or something like that. So you have to like think about how you're interacting with the different NPCs and the different places in the city. And then you go out, and instead of like just having a set deck, you have units, and each unit brings a certain amount of cards. So you'll have like spear guys. So you got three spear guys, and you got maybe armor guys, stuff like that. I don't know all the unit names yet, but it was like super unique. And a really interesting take on the roguelike deck builder. Definitely a little bit, not the most fleshed out game. And it is a demo, obviously, but a surprisingly hefty demo where you get to play a lot of it. And I would definitely recommend anybody who's into the deck builder roguelike and also this like dual kind of non-parallel deck building thing where it almost feels like a board game at times. I would check it out, but it was very cool.
Yeah, that sounds pretty interesting. I'm looking at some gameplay right now, and I think it's just cool that, you know, we always like joke about like roguelike deck builders because like it's the thing to do, right? Mm-hmm. There's so many of them, but the fact that like this one's doing something different, you know, you can still innovate on that. You know, it hasn't been kind of beaten to death. Yet it's cool. And also just in terms of like the demo, so you were saying there's like a lot you know in this demo, so I guess it's not like I was kind of thinking when you mentioned the day system, I'm like, oh, there's probably like a limited number of days in the demo or something. Is that not the case? It's just kind of like open-ended?
So I haven't beaten the demo yet, but I beat the first like I guess week's worth of days, because in the week's worth of days, like five of them you can go out and fight things outside of the city, and two of them the city gets attacked and you have to defend it, right?
Okay.
So like these big like kind of alien looking creatures. So I beat that, and then I just started the next like week cycle where you go to a new biome, I guess. But it's really neat. So you get to, and then when you go out and you try to like choose where to do your fight for the day, you have multiple options, and it tells you what item you get, what card you get for the city by going out to do it. And it tells you which characters in the city are interested in that item. So you can kind of like say, oh, the herbalist is interested in this item. So maybe I want to go get that to like hopefully make like a potion that is good in my deck or something like that.
Yeah. So oh, like, that's cool.
Yeah, yeah. It's a lot going on. You can kind of see how if you kind of just like disregard the whole city stuff, it punishes you bad.
Right? Okay. You're
like, I should have been like planning out my whole thing. Like, what am I doing? So it's a lot of fun.
Every time there's like a game where like, you know, you're doing something in like, you know, like a city or a town, and then like you go out, I always think of Moonlighter.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you're not like, it doesn't seem like you're like running a shop or anything like As We Descend, but I always like that idea of like having, you know, almost like more management side of things, like in during the daytime, right? And then like nighttime is when you're actually like out adventuring, or you're out like trying to defeat things, whatever it is. Like I always like those, you know, kind of like the contrast there. So that's cool. Yeah, I like that came to like a roguelike deck builder. Pretty neat idea.
Yeah, and there's also some like RPG D&D kind of stuff going on. Like the certain cards you use in the city are like different kinds of people, and they have different kinds of stats. So like one will be more charismatic. So if you send that one to a certain place, you might get the option, rather than just buy something, you might get the option is like, try to get it for free. You have to roll well.
Yeah.
You have a +5 on charisma. You can try to do that instead, which is kind of, I like that kind of stuff. Like as like someone who enjoyed D&D and like RPGs and stuff like that. So it's cool.
Cool.
Yeah. Awesome. Good demos. So check out some good demos out there. They're free.
Yeah.
Folks. But let's talk about Anima Flux. Anima Flux is a co-op Metroidvania with two genetically enhanced soldiers, special agents of a theocratic dictatorial.
This is from the actual game description too.
Dictatorial. I think it's dictatorial.
Don't say dictatorial. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, dictatorial. Yeah, dictatorial regime. Fight your way through swarms of mutants.
Is that what you are you posting? Dictatorials?
No, I'm not. Oh, there's a fly in here. Fight your way through swarms of mutants through a desolate dystopian space city and save humanity's last stronghold if, of course, anyone is still alive. All right, let's get to the gameplay. Yep. So, this is gameplay. I'm going to say it right now. This is going to be the weakest part for me of this game. So, what you have here is kind of the setup for a Metroidvania, right? Typical kind of going through the map, jumping on different platforms, through different platforms, kind of try to check out everything and fight enemies as you go. Mm-hmm. And that all works fine. Not super in love with the movement here. And then specifically not really in love with the combat. I think the combat was really, really, really weak. And I'll get to why. So as you're playing, you're kind of, if you're playing solo, which I did, you can switch out and play either of the characters. One is a ranged character, kind of, and the other has a sword. So one has a kind of futuristic bow and arrow. The other one has like a laser sword. And I will say that the one with the laser sword was fine. I think it was a lot easier to go through the combat and whatnot with the laser sword guy. But the bow and arrow, it just didn't feel intuitive to have like this ranged character that like really shoots, I guess, like close range in a way. Mm-hmm. But you can also shoot long range. But these enemies come at you quick. Now, I don't think you technically get damage when these enemies touch you. They have to actually attack you. But when you're like, you can only shoot so many arrows. So they move quick and they're coming at you. Like even right away in like the first like level. You're like, holy smokes. Like they're really coming at me. And I'm like, I'm taking a ton of damage here, even though I'm not getting hit by them, but like, or I'm touching them and not getting hit, but they're attacking me and I can only shoot so many arrows. And I think this is where this game definitely feels like it should only be co-op, like multiplayer, right? Because you kind of need the balance between the one player playing the laser sword. Now, the AI is playing the laser sword guy for you when you're playing single player, but that's only good enough, right? Now, there's certain puzzle-esque things going on here with your separate person if you play solo, where you switch out your characters and then you can also tell them to stay in one spot while you go do something else, or maybe you need to open up a certain kind of door because one needs to stand here, one, and then the other needs to stand in another place. This is stuff we've seen in almost every co-op game, at least in the side scroller kind of stuff that I can remember that we've played on this podcast even,
yeah,
and beyond. So nothing really groundbreaking here in terms of the co-op stuff from a single player perspective. I don't know if that would be different in the multiplayer, but I can't really imagine it. So like, to me, when I was playing this, it's easy enough, I think, like once you get the combat down, but it didn't feel like good combat. If it, like, even when you were doing it, when you're winning, I was just like, this doesn't feel right. Like, I'm not enjoying fighting these enemies. I don't feel like I'm actually beating them. I feel like I'm luckily beating them, if anything, even with the sword guy. I just didn't like how the combat like was smooth, and it felt like there was like a lot left on the table in terms of what you could do with the combat. It felt very one note, at least in the beginning of the game. And I think it was enough for me to really be bored with this game and kind of really frustrated, because we'll get to it, but there's some other really cool stuff going on, but the gameplay was like really, really boring to me. And, that's a shame, because I think there's some other really cool stuff going on here.
Yeah, I, you know, a big thing for me with this gameplay, and I'm, you know, a lot of what you're saying is like ringing true for me as well, is, yeah, it was very basic, the combat, right? So I'm kind of thinking, looking at this game, oh, like we get to control two players, like there's going to be a lot of synergies between the two. It's going to be like really fluid and interesting combat, but you know, it ends up just kind of being you know, you start out just really with, you know, one attack per character that you play. You do unlock like other abilities. You get like a rage ability, so that like, you know, you can kind of build up your kind of mana basically, and then expend it all when you're raging. Then you do get some other abilities as well as you play, and like as you defeat bosses, really, at least from what I experienced, like when you defeat a boss, you get like a new ability. But it didn't really change kind of how I was playing, though, because I was like, all right, well, like these new abilities are great, but like the rage one is one that I need to basically still do my basic attacks in order to even utilize that one. I'm trying to remember what the second one was that I unlocked. I think it was like a heavy attack with like, so you're typically using like RB on an Xbox controller, and then RT is going to be the heavy attack. That one was fine. Like that kind of made sense. But also at the same time, I was like, why wasn't this just like from the beginning? You know, it's kind of a normal thing, a light and a heavy attack. But I agree. Like, I think, you know, we'll talk about like the other parts of the game, but I ended up finding the combat a little frustrating, because at first I was playing as like the archer character, and yeah, a lot of the enemies just run right up to you. You know, I'm kind of jumping around. I didn't find the jump very satisfying. Even when platforming, I kind of felt like it was like I was barely reaching some platforms, when I kind of wanted it to be a little springier, just because it would just feel a little bit better. When I did switch over to the sword guy and I started mainly using him, and forgive me, I don't really know the names of either one, but I found it to be a lot easier, because then the AI, the computer, was playing as the archer, and they would just, like, you know, auto aim. They just have auto aim. So they're like assisting you as you're kind of attacking with the sword, but you know, you're doing one note attacks with the sword, and it just, at the end of the day, it just kind of felt like I was just like spamming rather than like, I don't know, in Metroidvanias, I like to be like strategical with how like I'm attacking things, or like, oh, I need to do a certain thing. Even in something like Animal Well, where you're not really doing any combat, like the amount of strategy you have just movement wise is like super important for getting around things or figuring out puzzles. So in this game, I just kind of felt like that wasn't, at least in like the boss fights that I came across and just like the standard enemies, I didn't really, I just was like, all right, I move to one side of the arena. I move to the left side. You know, I just keep going back and forth until like I dodge enough attacks. And then, you know, eventually like the guy dies. It just kind of didn't feel super engaging or like that fun really at the end of the day, which is a shame because there's some other really great parts of this game that I think almost make up for the gameplay. If like, you know, I know we can talk about story, and you know, maybe the more you play, again, I did not beat the story for the game, but maybe the more you play, once you get all those abilities unlocked, then it starts to really feel great. Maybe you get like a better jump or, you know, just better attacks in general. But for me, yeah, it just kind of almost felt like too like vanilla, right? I was kind of getting like Hand in Hand vibes. I don't know if you remember when we played that game a while ago, but that one, you know, was also a different style of co-op. And I just, you know, it just kind of felt, yeah, like boring, essentially, at the end of the day. Also, just as an FYI, this is only local co-op as well. So there's no online co-op available with this, which is fine. You know, I know that's an extra cost for the developers, but I feel like most people then will probably just be playing this solo, you know, and the solo experience wasn't like super satisfying for me having those two different characters to swap between. Also, just need to point out this gameplay is from Fazzy Gaming on YouTube. So thank you for Fazzy. Just want to point that out if you're watching on the YouTube stream. I'll have their link in the description as I usually do for the people that have the gameplay. But yeah, so I'm agreeing with you on a lot of points there about the overall gameplay. I do think it could potentially get to the point, like I mentioned, where it is a lot more fun with all the abilities unlocked, but I shouldn't have to play, you know, hours of a game to unlock abilities to then make the gameplay fun. You know, it should at least have some of the basics. Give me the heavy attack early on, right? Give me even that rage ability, right? I feel like that's a pretty common thing in games, right? Where, you know, just, you know, you attack enemies after a certain amount of time, and then you can do kind of a big attack, like an ultimate attack. I think that makes sense. I think it would be cooler in this game if you could swap out your different types of attacks, right? Mm-hmm. Rather than just kind of add, okay, now you can hit this button and it does this. Now you can hit this button and it does that. I think, like, give us that a little bit earlier, and then give me different types of arrows to use. Give me a different type of sword to use, you know, things like that. I think could make the gameplay a lot more fun.
Yeah, and it is a Metroidvania, so like you're supposed to unlock things, but
yeah,
a heavy attack should not be the thing you're unlocking,
right? Exactly.
You know that is the bare minimum. So yeah, you hit the nail on the head there. Now the story is kind of interesting, right? Because I think there's a lot of good here, and then I think there is some bad, because you actually touched on one thing that is kind of pretty crazy, right? And I'm realizing now that I also don't know the names of these characters, right? Yeah. And I played this game, right? And I'm looking, actually, right now, at their website, right? There's no mention of who these characters are. And this is clearly a very story-focused game, right?
Yeah.
Why don't we know who these characters that are clearly well worked on, right? Like, have great design, cool art style, which we'll get to.
Yep.
And like they have like real personalities in this game. We don't know who they are. I mean, maybe they don't have names, but like that seems like a big miss here to me.
Yeah.
Because like if anything this game has is like two cool characters that you're running around playing as, right? And I think that's a huge miss there. But the positives here for the story are, well, the world is really built out here, right? They had a huge idea, and they really went for the fences here with this kind of like post-apocalyptic, weird, like you have these certain kind of rules, and there is certain societal things going on here that's like, hey, listen, we are part of this faction and we need to do this kind of thing. Don't you be messing that up. A lot of that kind of dialogue here, which I didn't finish the story, but it was cool. It was definitely really cool. I like this kind of vibe, this kind of weird post-apocalyptic sci-fi thing, but
yeah.
It doesn't really, it's not enough, right? You need to really hit home with like, why am I playing this, right? Why am I playing this bad gameplay, first of all? But like, why am I playing this? You kind of get just dropped into this world, and it's a little bit of like chaos, I felt like, right away in terms of the narrative. And I was like, okay, that's fine. Whatever, we'll figure out who these characters are. And you kind of do at some point. But it wasn't like gripping. It was just like, we got to go through this really cool world we built. This world's really cool. And it is. But like, it's just there to go through. And I don't think necessarily utilized in a good way. But I don't know. I just kind of wish there could have been a really, really gripping story here. And I think they just missed the mark again, unfortunately.
Yeah, big thing for me was like, and maybe this is something I missed, but I feel like it should be something that's really hard to miss. Like, what exactly are we fighting? Like, what are these like crab things that I like, these mutated crabs? I just kind of like, you know, I know they're like, they're obviously mutated, but like, and maybe this is something that unravels throughout the story, but it would just be kind of nice to know, you know, why am I fighting against these things other than the fact that they're like, you know, obviously like destroying this area, this city that we're in. Also, I found it a little bit confusing that like one of the people that I found was like a scientist, and they were like, oh yeah, there's like we're safe down here. There's no enemies. And I walked into the next room and there were like a bunch of enemies. And I'm just like, well, how does that make sense from like a story standpoint? Shouldn't they know that they're in the next room? So I, you know, again, I don't know really where the story ends up, but I will say there's a lot of story elements. It was great to play like a Metroidvania that almost felt like I was playing a game like Fallout or like Skyrim, where you could just go talk to a bunch of people and you can get all these different quests as well. You know, there's not just like one storyline that you're kind of following. So I like that aspect of it. I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. But then, you know, and this ties into the gameplay, I would pick up a quest and I'd be like, okay, well, I have no idea what to do for the next part of this quest. I found this guy who was like an engineer. And he was like working on, I don't know, a ship or like, I think it was a mech suit or something like that. And there was a bird that kept like bothering him. Actually, it's on the screen right now. Look how perfect that is. There's a bird that just keeps repeating what he says. And he's like, I can't get any work done. And you get a quest that's like, oh, you need to do something to get rid of this bird. But it gives you like one sentence in the quest. And I'm like, okay, well, I don't know. I have no idea. Like, give me like a hint of like a direction or like something to look for, maybe that would be close to what I have to pick up for the specific quest. Like, I just kind of felt like that wasn't fully fleshed out. I appreciate the fact there's a lot of quests I can pick up, but and I know it's a Metroidvania, you know, the whole idea is that I need to discover these things. But I just feel like if you're going to have a quest system where I can pick up multiple side quests, there has to be a little bit more direction on what I should be doing or what I should be even be looking for in these side quests. And some of them might list it there. I was just kind of picking on that one in particular. So yeah, that bothered me about the story. I do like, you know, this is not a super original story, right? It's like, you know, sci-fi world, right? Cities being taken over by these mutants, and you need to, you know, they told everyone to evacuate, but you're going through trying to obviously like defeat them. So it's not a very original story at the end of the day. I do like the dialogue that happens between the two characters, though. They clearly aren't like big fans of each other. They always have kind of this snarky dialogue between the two. I remember one time I died to a boss or something like that. And one of the characters was like, oh, you should listen to me next time. I was just like, oh, like that's kind of funny, even though they didn't really say anything during the boss fight. That was like, you know, a good kind of little banter that they had back and forth. But I'm not, you know, honestly, the reason I am even invested in the story is because of the art. Right. Even though I'm not very like heavily invested in it, but I think the art is a really strong point with this game. But what did you think about it?
Yeah, I mean, this is probably the shining star here. Clearly, a lot of work put into the background, environments and stuff like this, like really, really well built, almost like this kind of cartoonish style as well. A little bit of anime. Character design is really neat and kind of like running through this world that is, it's not very dynamic, right? Doesn't need to be. It kind of works. You're kind of running through and it feels almost like old Disney animated movies, like right where they had like one static kind of background. And I think it really works here. And I really liked it. And like the use of color and all these different things, it doesn't feel monochrome at all, which, you know, can be used in a good way, but here, you know, they didn't even want to chance it. Right. They totally went for it with kind of building this beautiful kind of tapestry of these environments and making the characters look very different, as well as the enemy design here as well. This was like the most, like, gripping thing about this game, and really was like honestly what led me to cast my vote to play this game, right? Like for the week, because we had a couple choices here going into this week, and I was like, honestly, this looks really cool, right? If the gameplay and everything else is as close to the art, I mean, we could have another certified fresh juice here. And the art is really, really nice. I was a big fan.
Yeah, I agree. Like, just like their use of light and like, it's like these, like, I mean, you can even see it on the screen. Like, they use like gradients and like this soft light. And then like, there's like a lot of darkness in the game. They just do a fantastic job balancing between the two. And even the character design, you know, you mentioned it's kind of like cartoonish, right? And yeah, I mean, it definitely is, but those characters also have like, they do have some depth to them as well in terms of like the shading. Like they do a really great job from the art department. And one thing I really liked art wise with this game is that I don't know how often it actually happens. It did happen after I beat one of the bosses, is that they go into like these like anime like cutscenes, but they're not like fully like anime inspired. They reminded me of like a, you know, like a 90s cartoon as well. Like that's just, you know, kind of like grainy and really vibrant colors, you know, not too many kind of things to look at, right? That's like it's very focused on particular things. But I know with a lot of games that we play, I'm always asking for, it would be great to have like a little cutscene in between this or a little cutscene in between that. And like this game was doing that. And like, they just look really great. So, you know, props to the, you know, artist here for really doing well, or, you know, multiple artists, it probably is, but really just taking like what is in the actual gameplay and then like translating that into like a really cool cutscene that doesn't really look like the game at all, but it helps kind of try to tie in some of the story elements. And it kind of moves you on to the next thing story-wise. I thought that was really well done. I'm even looking at, like, if you check out their Steam page, you can see exactly what I mean. They have like some examples of kind of, you know, these little cutscenes that are in between some of the gameplay elements. So they did a great job there art wise, because it's just so different looking than the actual game. But it also it's not too far detached where you're like, this isn't even the same game. Like, it's definitely those characters. You know, it's just they look different. So, yeah, but art-wise, I mean, yeah, it looks great. I also had pretty high hopes just because of how the game looked. And, like, that's something that I think, you know, a lot of indie games, you know, kind of fall into that trap, right, where, like, the art just looks fantastic, but maybe the gameplay doesn't really live up to it, you know, or maybe the story's fantastic, but the art is distracting. You know, there's always kind of something like that give and take. And I think with this game, the art's probably the strongest point for me. And it really helped me kind of keep going through the story and through the gameplay as much as I did. But I think if the art was any worse, I probably wouldn't have played the amount that I did play with this game. So the art definitely helped with that for sure. So, yeah, they did a great job. And also, just another thing I need to mention too that I just thought of is that, like, the way they do like their foregrounds and then, like, obviously where the gameplay takes place and then, like, the backgrounds, like, there's just so much depth. Like, I remember sitting in, like, one of the rooms I was in, and, you know, I was doing, you know, I was jumping around, like, figuring out some stuff. And then I realized that, like, in the foreground, there were, like, people on, like, computers. Like, there was, like, a whole, like, kind of narrative happening right in front of me of, like, people working on stuff, and I didn't even realize because I'm focused on, like, the actual gameplay layer. But taking a look at, like, the foreground, I was like, wow, like, they didn't even need to add that there. I didn't even notice it. It could have just been black for all I care, right? And like complete darkness, it wouldn't have mattered to me. But just noticing that they took the extra time to, like, add in those layers really does make you feel like you're in this world. So I really appreciate, like, the time they took for the art here, because it definitely looks like a lot of work. And, you know, I think they just did a great job with, like, the environmental design.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely agree. And obviously, like, to see what else these devs and maybe this art team can come up with, maybe with some more better. Jeez. I mean, who am I to talk? better game dev kind of coming in there working on the mechanics would be very helpful here. Now, sound design and score, nothing to write home about, but definitely fit into the vibe. I don't really have a lot of notes here. It wasn't very memorable, but it was certainly exactly what you expect out of a sci-fi Metroidvania. But yeah, I don't have a whole lot to say on the sound.
Yeah, I it's got that eerie kind of, like, atmospheric music. Like you said, it fits into the sci-fi stuff perfectly. I did have a few issues with the sound, and it's more about the sound effects. And maybe it's just because I jump a lot in Metroidvanias, even when I'm just, like, running from one side to the other. I'm always, like, hopping around. And there is just, like, I kind of got the vibe that some of the sound effects are, like, ones that are in, like, stock sound effect packs, where, like, it's, like, always the same metal clanging sound, right? Or it's always, you know, I'm trying to think of, there were like specific sounds, like, oh, even like the dialogue, when you're, like, you know, going through the different dialogue boxes, there's, like, a little sound that plays. Eventually I kind of started to get annoyed by that. And then with, like, the metal clanging sound, I stopped, like, jumping. I was just like, okay, this is just kind of getting annoying because it's the same sound over and over. And it felt like, regardless of the terrain I was on, it was always kind of these few sounds that I would hear, and it wasn't really varied too much. So that kind of took me out of it a little bit. I think that they could either maybe tone down some of those sound effects, not make them as loud. I think I wouldn't have cared as much if they just were pretty subtle. or just kind of add a little bit more variety into those sounds. But that was kind of some of the vibes I was getting with the sound effects. As I was like, I just kind of feel like these were like plugged in there and they weren't really thought about too much. I could be wrong about that. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to bash the developers or anything like that, but, or the sound design team, but that's just how I felt playing it. It kind of took me out of it a little bit, but other than that though, I mean, I think most of the sound, you know, 85% of it was fine to me, you know, music wise, sound effect wise, it was all, you know, fit with the kind of atmosphere of the game. So didn't have a problem with that, but just those small little things.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I didn't even notice, to be honest. So,
yeah,
it is what it is. Let's talk about performance. Yeah. We both played on Steam, obviously, because that's all on for now. It'll be very helpful to be able to play local co-op when it comes out on the other consoles. It worked fine for me. How about you?
Yeah, no issues whatsoever, which is great because, I mean, the game looks fantastic. I was figuring it might be a little taxing just because there's a lot of depth to it. But no, they did a pretty good job optimizing it. So, yeah, no issues for me.
And that's going to bring us to our rating.
There we go.
Our ratings are as followed. The highest tier is Certified Fresh Juice. This is your Balatros of the world, your Norp Apologs. What else did we just give a Certified Fresh Juice?
Halls of Torment.
Halls of Torment, which is now out on
mobile
as well.
Yes, it is.
A steal. This is things like Pepper Grinder, The Cub. Get on sale. A lot of games fall into this. It's kind of like your games that are right in the middle of the pack. Maybe you want to get it on sale. Manager Special. Maybe you get it if it's a deep discount or free to play, but not a lot of redeeming qualities unless you're really into the genre. And then Spoiled Milk, which we don't recommend anybody waste their time or money on. Matt, what are you going to give this game?
So I am going to give Anima Flux. I'm giving it a low on sale. Now, the reason for that is I know, obviously, we had some issues with the gameplay. It's not that the gameplay, to me, was, like, bad. I just wanted it to be more interesting, right? So I think if there's Metroidvania fans out there that love story-based Metroidvanias, I think they're going to probably enjoy this game. There's plenty of story elements in it. And if they really like dedicate their time, I think that they can kind of get through it. But I do think it kind of has a slow start. And you really kind of have to, you know, be into these sort of games, I would say, to really enjoy this one. But I do think there are some redeeming qualities, obviously the art. I think there could be some interesting story elements that come out of it as well. And then obviously as the gameplay evolves, it might get more interesting. So I'm just going to give it a low on sale. I was close, honestly, to a Manager Special, but it's just hard for me. Like the game, you know, there wasn't anything with the game where I was just like, you know, this is something I wouldn't recommend, really, you know, unless you were like super, 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 you know, dedicated to like the specific type of Metroidvanias. But I think if you're a general Metroidvania fan, you could probably find some enjoyment with this one. But I would definitely try to find it on sale. You know, it's $20, maybe pick it up for 10. I think you'd be fine, you know, playing a game like this. But yeah, that's what I'm thinking, Tom. What about you?
Well, Matthew. So first of all, my final rating here, and this is going to be a first, and I'll tell you what the first is here. Anima Flux, more like Anima Sucks. This is the first time we're going to be two grades away. Now, okay. I know I praise this game for its artwork and some of its storylines, but, or not storylines, but world building. But I was very pissed off at this game. And I love Metroidvanias. I play a lot of Castlevania. I play a lot of the Dead Cells. I mean, like, to name just two huge ones. And I love Metroid as well. How about that? Metroid and Castlevania. The origins of what this genre is. I felt... this is gonna sound scathing. I felt the gameplay was insulting.
Oh.
I felt it was just so incoherent. And just like I just felt like there were no mechanics like given to me other than jumping and attacking. And I know that you're supposed to unlock more mechanics in Metroidvania. That's not what I'm talking about. I thought that even in the base mechanics of jumping, attacking, and like fighting enemies, it felt like there was no thought put into it. I think that if I had to guess, this is a very creative minded studio that was like, we have a great idea for a television show. Let's make it a video game, right? And that's just what I felt like. And even just if I'm going to look at it from a television show standpoint, yeah, it looks pretty. It looks awesome. If I saw a trailer for it, I'd be like, I want to watch a couple of episodes of that. But even they couldn't nail like any character, like any like real like heart in the story, mm-hmm. right? They built a world and they designed beautiful set pieces and characters, but it was hollow. I just felt like there was nothing there and there wasn't even good gameplay to back it up. And for that reason, I got to give it a spoiled milk. And
I thought you were, because you said two away, I was like, it's either spoiled milk or certified fresh juice. I didn't know which way you're gonna end up going with that one.
Yeah, I was trying to leave an air of mystery, but I really didn't like this game. It actually made me mad when I was playing it. I was like, I am mad that I'm playing this game. And even, I mean, the last time that happened was the last spoiled milk I gave, which was Just King.
No, it was not. It was Dungeon Minesweeper.
Oh, there's multiple spoiled milks that I've given.
Yeah, and then Just King.
This is my third spoiled milk. Dungeon Minesweeper, I just had to give a... That was less of a get mad. That was more of like, what are we doing here? Like, there's some stuff here, but anyway. Spoiled milk, I hope that people still enjoy it if you play it, you know, but
I definitely can see, you know, your side of things with it as well. You know, I think hollow is a really good way to describe like the gameplay for it. You know, like I was expecting more, you know, out of it. But you know, hey, maybe the juice heads will give it a shot. We'll see what they think.
Maybe they will. Comment if you do. And I don't mean hollow like Hollow Knight, which is amazing. I mean hollow like it sucks. Anima sucks.
It's kind of fly. Did you just catch that? Oh my god.
I don't think I did.
Live on camera.
I should pretend. Wow. I haven't showed anybody. Anyway, next week we're going to be playing a game called Magic Archery, a nice free-to-play game. A light week for us because we're both pretty busy. But we do have listener questions, which people can submit in the Fresh Juice Discord, which we mentioned at the top of the show. First comes from K-More, who asks, who would win in a football game? And he means American football, I am assuming. Xbox's original characters or PlayStation's original characters? If you can say who plays what position. This is a tough one because I'm trying to think of who PlayStation's OG characters are.
I got Sackboy's on there, he's on the defensive line.
It'd be funny if he's the quarterback.
Right. He's getting
that's what they call Daniel Jones. That's some NFC East jokes for you all.
Yeah. Here's some PlayStation characters. Kratos, God of War, Crash Bandicoot, Nathan Drake from Uncharted, Sly Cooper, Sweet Tooth from Twisted Metal, Lara Croft, Solid Snake, Sackboy. Yeah, you got Joel and Ellie, The Last of Us, Jack and Daxter, Spyro.
Crash Bandicoot?
You know. Yep, Crash Bandicoot's on there.
Oh, Crash Bandicoot's easily a halfback or even a fullback.
Yeah. I'm saying, like, Kratos is probably on the offensive line. Maybe the defensive line. He's a big muscular dude. It's
a linebacker.
Maybe even a tight end. Spyro? Where do you think Spyro lands?
Waterboy.
Waterboy? Yeah. He's got wings.
Got wings? Okay. Yeah. Slot. No. Wide out. Not slot receiver.
Okay. Wide slot receiver is Sly Cooper, you think?
Yeah, I think so. Definitely. Yeah, so, and then, like, Xbox, what do you got? Like, the Gears of War folks, which is, like, a pretty good O-line, right?
Yeah.
And then you got Master Chief.
Master Chief, yeah.
And then...
Banjo-Kazooie. You got the Doom guy.
Oh, Doom guy?
I guess. Conker. I'm just looking at a list here. Conker, the Squirrel. You don't have a lot. You don't have a lot on the Xbox side. So I feel like their team, yeah, they got the Gears of War guys.
Gears of War guys and the enemies from Halo and
yeah.
And I guess Gears of War as well.
I don't know. I just think like PlayStation might win just because they got more variety.
They got the speed. Like, that's actually the biggest thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think the Xbox guys would be good at offense, but they don't seem that fast really on the defensive side. So yeah, like you're not gonna catch up to Sly Cooper maybe.
They're like a 1980s, 1970s like Pittsburgh Steelers, right? The steel curtain.
Yeah.
Kind of like slow grind, not like a powerful offense. But I mean they could have like a defense that is hard to deal with, but
yeah, they're gonna have to work on the pass rush because I don't think their corners are gonna do anything. Mm-mm. They're gonna have to get to the QB, get to Sackboy.
And now PlayStation, yeah, sorry. And now PlayStation has the little robot guy that people are Astro.
Oh yeah, Astrobot, yeah.
Which he seems quick as well and can jump high. Oh, I don't know. I gotta say, you throw Nintendo in the mix.
I was just thinking
all kinds of sports.
Oh yeah, they're winning.
They gotta be. I mean, Donkey Kong 1v12 will kill them all.
Oh, yeah. You got the Splatoon guys is like wide receivers. They just go underground, pop up, catch it, you know?
Yes.
Or even a running back. Sure.
Sure. Special teams.
Under the line.
A whole Fire Emblem game. Yeah. that's a fun question. It'd be fun to actually map it out. And then, like, I don't think Madden has, like, the best custom character creation, but
yeah,
it would be cool
to
make it work in Madden.
Yeah, you know those games where like you can do like a Roman army versus like the Michelin man, you know, like something ridiculous. They should do that for football so we can plug these characters in and see what happens.
That would be sweet. You know, Retro Bowl should get on that.
They should. Yeah. But not make it only for Apple Arcade.
Yeah.
Like the new one. Oh, I just want to play it.
I haven't played it yet. But I'm sure it's next on the list. Now, Capolo asks, what is the question about you that you wish someone would ask you?
Are you happy?
Are you okay?
What is the question about you that you wish someone would ask you? Well, actually, it was that question. I don't know. Do you know? What's the question you wish someone would ask you?
I don't know. This is a really tough question, Cap. I think... Holy smokes. Something about... Like, ask me what character from a book I always pictured myself as. Because there's a couple that I could actually, like, think of.
All right, what character?
So, when I read the first Harry Potter as a kid, I mean, like, that's just, I wanted to be Harry Potter, right? Like, you just, you put yourself in that shoes because anybody's, kind of felt like outcast at some point like he was. And then you're like, I'm a kid. I want to go to a magical school and become a wizard. Because guess what? If you realize in those books, none of those kids have to go to math class.
Yeah. I know.
They don't have to.
That's
do
awesome.
They don't do regular school. So that seems so sick at the time. And then I talk about my favorite book series, the Collector series, first one called Dead Harvest. The main character in that, I know it sucks. The person's in that situation because they sold their soul, but I don't know. It's still pretty cool. What they have to do, go around and collect other people's souls. Pretty neat. And then also, Swamp Thing. Obviously, I don't want to be like super gross or whatever, but like to be like the avatar for all of plant life just was seemed like so sweet. And Batman, because his parents were dead. No, I'm kidding.
Yep. Oh my God.
Oh, no. Batman, because he's cool.
Yeah. Because his parents are dead. No, but that's good. Yeah. I have no idea what the answer for this. What is the question about you that you wish someone would ask you? I guess I'll know when someone asks it. I don't read books really. So I don't have an answer to that one. Oh man, it is a tough question, Cap. Yeah, I don't really have an answer for it. I guess, you know, what's your favorite color?
Wait.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite Philadelphia Eagle of all time?
Of all time. It's probably Brian Dawkins.
Okay.
If I had to choose, yeah. And my favorite Yankee's Derek Jeter. So there you go.
The Yankees.
All time. Yeah. Close. Mariano Rivera's close second. How's the game looking, by the way? I know they're on right now.
4-0.
They're winning?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. All right. Nice. Yeah. Nice.
Subway Series, baby.
Yeah. We'll see. The Mets got blown out.
I think did they win today?
We're
doing
this
live.
We're doing it live.
Mets. Yeah, they spanked the Dodgers today. The series is tied 1-1. Anyway.
Ooh, okay.
That's some inside baseball for you all. Last question comes from R. Carp, who says, well, chilly season is around the corner. It's getting cold out. So that means we're going to be eating a lot of chili.
Yep.
The real question is chili a soup?
Is chili a soup?
Because it will show up on menus under the soup section.
True. I mean, I don't view it as a soup because I view as a soup as something that's like brothy.
Sure.
But it could I could see it being like a cousin of soup, like in the soup category. Sure, you know. I mean, it's like zebras and horses. You know.
Okay.
They're related. Somewhere, but I mean, I guess it's a soup, you know. I just I don't view it as a soup when I have chili. I'm not like, oh, I'm having some soup right now, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I gotta do some research real quick.
Yeah, I don't like beans in my soup or my chili. Jesus Christ. But I've had it before, I can deal with it, it's fine. But I just prefer no beans or just like really light on the beans. I'm not a big bean guy, but I do love some chili though. It is getting the chili season. It's also, we were just talking about having some more tomato soup and maybe a bread bowl, you know, get tomato soup season going. Yeah, just, it's getting to that part of the year. But what'd you find out?
I wasn't looking up anything about chili. Did you know? Anyway, I would say prior to like 2004, 2003 maybe, I would say chili to me was not soup.
Okay.
And why is that? Well, yeah, it's chunky.
What happened in 2003, 2004?
In 2003, 2004, we invaded Iraq. No. I believe the commercial campaign on television for Campbell's Chunky Soup with Donovan McNabb started to air.
Yeah.
For those of you who remember, that was a big moment. right? Because at that point, people were like, well, I didn't know that soup could be chunky, right?
Yeah.
Now, I did a quick search. Campbell's have been making chunky soup since 1970.
But I figured.
Yeah, but and had advertised for it. But Donovan McNabb was the first, like, was the pioneer to kind of bring it to people's, like, zeitgeist, I guess.
Yeah.
So I think 2003, 2004 was a big shift in what chili is as a dish. And I think it is a soup. And I think, I can't confirm this, but I think if you look back, like, if you look at, like, if there was a data point kind of, like, map, a big Excel sheet of yes and no. Is chili on the menu as a soup?
Yeah.
It's a lot of no's. 2003, 2004, that's when you start to see the shift into yeses. Chili's a soup now. So, yeah, chili's a soup.
Okay.
A chunky one.
It's a chunky soup. Yeah, I mean, sure, that works for me. You know, I'm not very passionate about whether it is or isn't a soup. So I'm fine with it being a soup, you know?
Listen, it's a good question. Kind of want some chili soup.
Yeah, right?
It's pretty good. Sounds pretty good. Yeah. Pop that in the crock pot. Come back home.
Boom.
Smells good in here. We having chili? Dollop of sour cream, cheddar, jalapeno, fresh jalapenos. Ooh.
Oh,
yeah. Anyway,
sounds good.
Nice. Let's get to the rec room before we say our goodbyes. This is where we recommend something that perhaps isn't an indie game. What do you have to recommend this week?
I am recommending something I had yesterday, which was Bags's fiance made caramel covered apples, but it actually, I know I wrote caramel covered apples. It's actually caramel covered apples with like a layer of chocolate also over it.
Okay.
I've always been a big fan of caramel covered apples. Love them. You know, caramel apples, they're awesome.
Sure.
But it's just been a while. I don't even remember the last time I had one. Might be like 5 or 6 years ago, maybe. And I was just like, oh man, these are good. These are real good. So I'm recommending you to go out there. You know, it's the fall season. Go get some caramel apples, walk around, enjoy them, slice them up, you know, have a little bits. You don't got to eat it like a savage.
Okay.
And yeah, that's what I'm reckoning. It's good stuff.
You're wrecking up some caramel covered apples. I've never had one. I don't think they scare me.
Okay. Why? Just the stickiness?
I think that, and like, I just feel like I watched something like a kid's Halloween thing where somebody's teeth got stuck in it or something like that. And it was probably like dentures or something like that. That scares me.
Yeah.
Could I get the same if I just like took like a Granny Smith, took a bite of a Granny Smith and popped in a caramel? Would I get the same kind of experience?
I don't know. There's something I like it like when it's sliced, you know, I just like it because it's like every bite is like that like crisp sliced apple. Yeah. Oh yeah. I slice it up. Yeah. You know, so you got like a wedge of it.
Sure.
And then, you get like every bite's got like the crisp apple and then like the chewiness of the caramel. And it just like, I don't know. It's a match made in heaven for me. I've always really liked them. So, yeah, but I wouldn't worry. At least, you know, I'm sure there's some caramel apples out there that have like a lot of caramel that I would be worried something would happen to my teeth. But these ones were well balanced. So,
okay,
as long as it's well balanced, I think you're going to be good.
Now, here's a question. In the grand scheme of the apple a day keeps doctor away, do these count?
Yeah. I mean, it's an apple, you know, I would say so.
All right.
Noted. But time will tell.
Time will tell. I've been having a caramel apple every day for a year.
Yep.
It is spooky season, so I am recommending a Halloween horror movie. Not a Halloween horror movie. It's called Oddity. It's streaming on a couple sites, but I watched it on Shudder.
Okay.
It is a pretty creepy movie. It is about a woman who gets brutally murdered in her house while she's alone, and her husband was working. And then her twin sister works at an oddity shop, and she kind of has a sixth sense for things, so she kind of susses out what really happened, because there was some mystery involved with how she was murdered and by who. And she kind of susses it out, and then she shows up to the house where the husband and his new fiance or new girlfriend are at, and she's like, I'm gonna figure out what's going on. And I also just so happened to bring a wooden person with me that looks so creepy, and it's just sitting at the table, and you're like, what is going on here? There's a twist in the storyline that is pretty telegraphed, which I was like, as soon as I saw it, I was like, this happens. I know this happens. But the actual horror twist is kind of hard to suss out. So not hard to suss out, but like the other twist being so easy to recognize makes you kind of forget that there's going to be another twist there. So it was a pretty good movie. Came out this year. So Oddity.
Nice. Oddity. Cool. And it was on Shudder?
Shudder.
Did you watch it?
I watched it on Shudder. I think it was on a couple other things when I looked, but I think it might be a Shudder original. I'm not sure. It's like a indie IFC film, so.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Cool. Awesome. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely getting... I'm not a big horror movie guy, but around this season, I'm like more willing to watch them. Like, okay, because Maria's always wanting to watch them. But I can maybe, you know, I don't know. That's going to creep her out, the wooden person. It's not like a puppet. It's like a wooden person.
Yeah, it's freaking terrifying. Like, okay. Like it's just scary to see in general. Yeah. But
interesting.
We'll talk about it after. I'll talk about it after. Cool. That's going to do it for the show, though, folks. You can continue to find me on Twitter at FreshBloodsPod. I have another podcast where I talk about Flesh and Blood, a indie trading card game. And you can find us on all socials at FreshJuicePod. And Matthew, where can people find you?
Find me at Matty Gorm, GORM, on all the socials. I'll be streaming, tweeting, all that good stuff. So check me out.
Wow. Streaming, tweeting, and...